Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. Want to kind of go a little bit more today. Last week we shared on holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. And that we are to be holy, amen, because of the Lord in us. Not to be prideful, it's not to say, look at who I am, but look at who I am in Christ, amen. And it was kind of a thought process. I really wanted to encourage each and every one to look at yourself a little differently than what sometimes you hear the world want to look at you or how the enemy wants to look at you. You know, I want us to begin to look at ourselves as how my God, how your God looks at us, looks at you as his children. And he calls us holy. And remember last week, in Isaiah and Revelation is the only two places in scriptures that specify where it's holy, holy, holy in three times. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. And trying to get that thought process that we are as well holy. Now, when we get into that understanding of that holiness, we find out it's because of we have been what? Set apart, amen? Sanctified, consecrated. Now, you can look at all these things up here. Sanctification, you shall be holy because I am holy. Consecration, set apart, set up. There's something different in those three apples. Something is different. And what that tells me and what I think of God's word in us and me and you is that even our church is that we have got to be set apart from this world, from society, from even within our community, because we have got a new, I don't know, say a new lease on life, but we got a new focus in our life and what we're to do and to be a part of. And so as we look at this, being sanctified or set apart, and when we are that way, that's how come we can be holy. Amen? And it's not us as we are, but it's him in us. Him through us, by that of the Holy Spirit in us. And we can go into different areas there. If I looked at the overall definition of sanctified, I would find it in John 36, John 10, 36. I'm going to start in 31, John 10, 31, and we'll kind of get into that of being sanctified. It says this, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Again to stone him. he was so familiar with being stoned and being, you know, railed against, so to speak, I guess, huh? Jesus answered them and says this in 32, many good works I have shown you from my Father, for which of these works do you stone me? Can you believe when you do good things, that's going to get some people upset? Even in working and serving and being that and used by God in this place, our lives today, that we will do good things and yet people will say, be gone with you? My goodness. And the Jews answered him saying this, for a good work we do not stone you. For good works we do not stone you, but for blasphemy and because you, being a man, make yourself God. And Jesus answers them and says, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? And if he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scriptures cannot be broken, it says in parentheses here. 36, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And then again, they sought to seize him. As many times as Jesus tried to reason with the Jews, it fell on deaf ears. Many times when we try to reason with people on these things of that of God, it'll fall on deaf ears. It doesn't matter sometimes what we say. It doesn't matter what we show or be an example of. You know, sometimes darkness doesn't like light. And the darkness in our world of today wants to do everything it can to extinguish that light. There's powers and forces out there in the spiritual realm that they don't want anything good to come about. The darkness out there and the evil out there wants to do nothing but control and change and just create havoc within our world. But we are sons of God, amen. Children of God. And with Him in us, again, that of the Holy Spirit, we have that light within us. Our bodies could be like that of a lightsaber. Remember that of Star Wars and some of these things? Like, you know, turn on the lightsaber. The force be with you. Hey, we got the force with us daily, day in and day out. Why is that? Because there's going to be people that we do good things and they're still going to want to stone you, want to mock you, want to say things against you. So when we find this sanctified, it says here, do you say of Him whom the Father sanctified? Sanctified could be that of meaning to hallow, to set apart, to dedicate, to consecrate, to separate, to sanctify, make holy. In the New Testament, this word describes a manifestation of life produced by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because His Father sent Him apart, Jesus appropriately called the Holy One of God. So that's the same thing as what Jesus was called, and we are to be like that of Christ, not Jesus ourselves, but be like Him, you know, disciple, follower of Him. That the Father, whatever the Father, remember sometime back we had a message I shared about whatever, you know, God put into Jesus, He's also put into us because of Christ. Christ in us. Amen? And so we have got a mighty force and a mighty power and a mighty ability within us. It's just we have got to get into the concept or the thought process of you've got to realize and call upon who you are in Christ. Back when the days when we were sinners, we did really good at calling on who those are the sinners. We did well. But then something happened in our lives. We received Christ as our Lord. Things began to change. Our righteousness was coming from that of God. We became holy because of that of God, putting us into being, want us to be consecrated, sanctified, set apart for a work for that of God. And the only way we can do that is if we have a realization of knowing who you are in Christ. And the enemy wants to always come to us and try to tell us who we are not in Christ. He's always wanting to tell you how bad you were, how bad you've been. All the things in the past, all of this, things of today even, some things that maybe you didn't do quite right. He wants to bring those things up day in and day out to beat you down. But I'm set apart. I'm consecrated. I'm sanctified. Thank you, Jesus. Holiness is one of the essential elements of God's nature required of His people. He wants us to be what? Holy. He does want us to be set apart. You cannot serve two gods. You cannot serve the world one day and the kingdom the next day and the world the next day. You've got to be totally separate from where this world is at to stand out for that of God. For when the world does not see a difference between the world and God, they don't need God. But when the world begins to see a true difference of this life and this life, they cannot but say, there's something here that I need to find out about. And hopefully we pray that, Lord, many times we know in scriptures it says the God of this world has blinded their eyes, seared their hearts, consciousness, and all that. But I can pray and pray, Lord, by that of the Holy Spirit, break through that. Lord, lift the veil off of them. Open their eyes, Lord, to see the things of this life and this world and show them Your light. And my God can do that. Don't you believe that? I don't need to fight it. I don't need to go there and hit them on the head and wrap them with a bat. Come on, you're going to believe in God or I'm going to kill you trying, you know? We can share that of love, that of God. And that's what part of holiness is. We'll get into some of that, I believe, is love, the characters and the things of that of God, forgiveness and love. And oh, my goodness. Holiness is one of the essential elements of God's nature required of us. Holiness may be rendered that of sanctification or being that of godliness. This Hebrew word for holy denotes that which is sanctified, set apart for divine service. We have got to realize and understand that we are set apart for a divine service. You have been called, amen? You have been called. Now answer the call. Do what is necessary to fulfill that call in your life. God would only do so much, and he's done so much already by that of Jesus Christ as what? Our Lord and Savior. So much that he loved us, he sent Jesus to die for us, to reconcile us back to him, for the blood of Christ to cleanse us of our sins. Hallelujah. To give us that hope, that trust, that belief, that understanding that when we leave this earth, we're going to a much better place anyway by that of God. We're going to be in heaven. Jesus has gone to prepare a place. He did his thing, you know, a couple of thousands of years ago, you know, and now he's there preparing, and we got our mansions. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know, my streets and all. They talk about streets of gold and things like that. I that's all well and good, you know, but I am interested now. What am I to do for you, God, now? I'm holy because you are holy. I am put in this place because you have placed me in this place, Lord, for a divine plan and purpose of your kingdom. Not to profit Tim, not to profit Harvester's Church, but to bring honor and glory and a profit of that of the kingdom of God. Amen. And to do that, it's going to be a life-changing occurrence in all of us. It's going to be that metamorphosis. It's going to be like that of you're going to be a caterpillar one day and now you're a butterfly. My, my, my. Get ready to go. I think the monarchs are getting ready to fly south, aren't they, pretty soon or something like that? We got a long trip ahead of us, guys, you know? But it's a change within us, and it happens gradual. The enemy will sometimes say, well, it sure is taking you a long time to clean up your act. I thought you were that of God. I thought you were serving him. How can you do that and still have this part of sin in your life? You know why? Because he's not finished with me yet. And he's slowly cleaning these things of my life from the past by that of the Holy Spirit. And I get that unction. I get that understanding. This is something that doesn't please my God. I've got to change it. I've got to put it aside. I've got to stop it. I've got to turn from it, whatever the case is. And I've got to do that and continue to do that and continue to do that. I remember one time, a long time back now, when I had given an example of how we are washed by the Word. And some were here. Remember when I had that picture of clear water and a picture of tea water? And I had some pictures of clear water. And what I began to do is I began to pour clear water into the pitcher that had that discolored water made by tea bags. And I just kept pouring this water. And another bout of new water, and some more fresh water, and some more fresh water. And eventually what happened in that vase, or it wasn't a vase, but that pitcher that had that old dingy brown water, every time I poured new fresh water into it, it got a little lighter, and a little lighter. It took several pitchers of water to do that. It's taking several times of God in our lives, putting that new water in. Washing us with the Word, washing us with his Word. And that little brown stuff in our system, that of sin, just slowly keeps going out, you know. Now, I did it so much, and it took so many times of water going that I had some people had to go and excuse themselves to go to the restroom because they said it just caused a thought process. So I haven't done that since, but maybe that'll come up one of these days. I'll just tell everybody, make sure you've gone to the restroom before you come in this morning. But it's an object lesson to be able to show somebody visually what it means when we're washed with the Word and how that yuckiness in us continues to flow out. Because anytime you put something in this end, it's going to pour out this end. The thing we've got to be careful is that we don't mix clear water with a little bit of tainted water. Because if we do that, that pitcher that you're wanting to get renewed with fresh, clear water, it'll never happen because we're putting clear in and a little bit of dirt water, a little bit of clear in, a little bit of dirt. And after so long, we begin to say, my gosh, it's taken me so long to change. I guess I'm not going to change. Well, the enemy likes to tell you lies. The enemy likes to keep you right where you're at. And the enemy will say, yeah, Tim, just keep pouring that dirty water in your life. It's okay. It's okay. And it's not okay. because I received Christ. Lord, I'm yours. Paid, bought with a price. And your word tells me, Lord, that I am no longer my own. Do you remember reading that in your Bible? Do you realize you're no longer your own? And when you have an understanding of that, you come to the point of saying, I'm his. I'm his or I'm somebody's, you know. God's word said, you'll either serve him or you'll serve the god of this world, Satan. But I choose to serve God. God. Because I'm a child of God. He loves me. Oh, I can keep on singing day after day the love of my Father for me. Amen. And my love that I have for him. It's an unending love song. It's a time to where I can just go out and say, I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. I love you. Can you ever tell him too many times that you love him? Can you ever tell a loved one near you, a family or a friend member, can you ever tell them too many times that, hey, I love you? Anybody ever say, oh, stop telling me that? You know, I hope not, you know. I love you. I love you. Yes, Lord. But we are set apart for a divine service. Sanctification is the process of God's grace by which the believer is separated from sin and becomes dedicated to God's righteousness. Sanctification, that could be our part to play. We're given several commands in the Bible that imply that believers have a responsibility in the process of sanctification. We are sanctified by that of God, but it takes work on our part. We have got to do some of these things. Now, we can go back to Leviticus, and it shares some things there. But really quick, in 1144, if you want to just write that down, and you can look at it a little bit later, but I will just tell you, 1144, it just says this. And he's dealing with, you know, the Jewish people, and it's Leviticus is going through the uncleanliness and sanctification and foods, everything in life back then. There's a lot of things that you had to do to cover these things. But in 1144, it says, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So this is where you can read through a lot of this, and it's talking a lot of cleansing and cleaning and staying away from things. But you shall be holy, for I am holy. The people recognize the difference between the sacred and the profane. They imitate God by living lives according to the code of holiness. And that's what we need to do. We need to honor God. Amen? I think we might have even touched upon this last week, but also in Leviticus 19:1 or 19:2, and the Lord speaks to Moses, and he says this to Moses, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. The people must imitate God in holiness by practicing a lot of duties, okay, that will reflect him. This chapter is emphasizing numerous commandments given to the people regarding religious life, neighbor, being a good neighbor, respect for the old, and a lot of this is what you need to do. But you can read all of that, but really, if we want to look at, just thankfully for me, and as I've read God's word and knowing the things that he wants me to do, that in the New Testament, and as we gain this life in Christ, and as I received the Holy Spirit in me, there's a lot of quickness now to God, and through that of the conviction of that of the Holy Spirit, that will pretty well tell you things that kind of maybe upset God, or will remind you, right, of something in Scripture when you do something, that all of a sudden the Scripture will come back to you in a conviction way to say, uh-oh, I didn't honor my God. I need to honor God in all that I do and all that I say. Now you're saying, well, Tim, do you do that every day? I try. Do I do it and succeed 100%? Guess what? No. Anybody here 100% able to do that day in and day out? We also looked at 1 Peter, and we don't need to turn there, but that was like last week in regards to holy, holy, holy. You know, you can be holy because I'm holy, or be holy for I am holy. So we find in Leviticus here touching upon this, that God knew there were only two options. Number one, you either be holy, or two, you compromise with pagan neighbors, pagan gods, and you become corrupt. There's only two ways, amen? And that's what we've got to sometimes get across to people of the world today, just like, guess what? He was trying to do and did back then. Many times we talk to people and trying to share the kingdom and the things of that of God, and they want to keep some of the things of the world with them because they've grown attached to things of the world. Or some of the things of the world has what? Attached themselves to them. My goodness. I remember down south, and there's some things up here, but you'd go through a field when I was a kid, and we had what they call cockaburrs. And you go through a field, and boy, you'd come out, and all of a sudden you look down at your pants, and especially in your socks and your shoelaces, cotton shoelaces on your tennis shoes, and there's like burrs stuck there. I didn't feel them when they got stuck to me. Guess what? I just going through this field, fun. You come out and you look down, you go, oh, wow. And you start to what? Pluck them off. Things of the world are like that. Things of this world come and they attach themselves to you because we're walking through this world. And sometimes we don't even realize what we walked through was a cockaburr patch of this world. And we come out to a field and we stand there and we go, how did all of this stuff get attached to me? Now, some of it is, if you willingly go out there, guess what? You know, you're going to get it. But there's a lot of times you just go through a place and maybe there's one or two plants and all of a sudden you just happen to rub up against them and you get attached to them and they get attached to you. Amen. And you got to go through the process of pulling them off. I don't think any of us want to keep those on our clothing, keep them on our shoes, you know. When we go through this life, we've got to be aware of those things that want to attach themselves to us. Why is that? Because I'm consecrated. I'm set apart. I'm here for the Master's use. Amen. And I've got to be alert, and I've got to be wise. And the Holy Spirit, again, I've got to focus, and we focus back. The Holy Spirit focuses us those things that says, Tim, don't let that attach. Tim, that's attached itself to you. You better get rid of it. You better pull it out. Better pull it off. Throw it away. Not to make me a goody two-shoes, it's just to make me holy, holy, holy for my God, amen. Holy, holy, holy. So he can be pleased with me, even more pleased than what he already is. You're either going to be holy or you're going to compromise with the world. For us today, we are called to be holy. 1 Peter 1:15. 1 Peter 1:15. It says this, 1 Peter 1:15. Here again, that's where we were last week. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, "For be holy, for I am holy." Like the Israelites, we should remain spiritually separate from the world and the world's wickedness. Now, we may rub shoulders with unbelievers every day. Does that mean we need to take and do what they're doing? I hope not. We need to remember where we stand in this world. We look at that in Matthew 5:48 as helping to understand our consecration, our separation. We've been set apart for a wonderful thing for that of God. My goodness, Jesus died for us. Can't we give him, God, a little bit more of ourselves? We find that in Matthew 5:48, it says this, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." This emphasis in the command to be perfect is not on a flawless moral nature, but on an all-inclusive love that seeks the good of all. Instead of following the example of sinners who love only those who love them, we are to be like the Father and also loving those who do not love us. That's hard to do, really hard to do. But Jesus gives us a very good example of that. So in character, we look at this. And so as we look at this part of Matthew 5:48, there's areas in character about that of in holiness, maturity. And so if we look at this in character, in this life, we will not be flawless, but we can aspire to be as much like Jesus as possible. That's where we get to this point. Some people just resign themselves to say, well, I will never gain perfect perfection, so why should I try? Well, the enemy wants you right there. The enemy would really like for you to believe that you're not going to acquire perfect perfection. And you know what? On this side of heaven, will any of us be perfectly perfected? No. Not in the world that we live, not in the things that come across our path, things that we have to deal with and take care of. And I'm going to tell you, as much as the fear, the Spirit is in me, and I believe the power of God is in me, and I know that, and I function with that, and I trust Him, I want to honor Him, I still do some dumb things. How about you? It's not as much in doing things as much as this thing here. The mouth is really powerful, man. It just, you say things, your emotions get into it, and you get riled up, and you say things, and then you want to say, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. I think maybe it's Thursday I shared with the folks on Thursday, was it, in regards to some things, and visiting with one of our liaison officers here in the department in Janesville. And I just said some things that I was reading in an article and some things that I was looking at on a situation and information that we were looking at. And I just really was just like, ah, you know. But then I had to tell him, I said, oh my goodness, I said, that's really calloused of me, you know, type of a thing, you know. I had shared, I said, my wife shared that with me just this past week. Tim, you're very calloused. And I thank her for saying that, because it was like a thing of just like, check, 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 you know. And I quickly said, oh, Lord, I need to look at things in your perspective, not my eyes, not my thoughts. I need your perspective on things. And he responded to me just saying, well, you've been around cops too often now. I said, well, probably, I was probably already that way before that. But anyway, but, you know, it's those things. And it is true. You know, when you get around certain people and things like that, you begin to kind of gravitate with their thought process. And you see crazy things so much that after a while you just go, this is ridiculous. Just be done with it, you know. And I guess it's just to tell them, you know, hey, I'm still human. I'm still dealing with this stuff. I still get emotional. I still get upset. I still get mad at things, ridiculous things. And when I say some things, it's like then I have to go back and say, I'm sorry I said that, you know. But, you know, and a lot of times when you do that, people go, hey, I know what you're saying. I feel the same way. It's like, well, I know, but I need to be holy, set apart. I need to show that of love. And so I think it's those things that the Spirit in us catches us on those things, and He's just kind of like that forming us and working with us, you know. And so it's one of those things. But that doesn't mean I'm going to give up on it and just going to turn to the world and say, well, I'm just going to be as callous as I can get. No, I want to be as sensitive as I can get. I want to be as loving as I can get. I need to be like that of Christ, like that of God my Father, full of love. Amen? And I've got to look at it with God's perspective. I even put that into my text to Him. I said, I need, and I said, oh, Lord, let me have Your perspective. And I sent it to this officer. Amen, you know. But we've got to at least keep working on it. Keep working on being consecrated and set apart and being used for the Master's use. Amen. Oh, my goodness. In this life, we will not be flawless, but we can aspire to be as much like Jesus as possible. Holiness, how about that? Our desire should be that of God's desires and to show His love and mercy to those around us. That's the whole part of things. If we just walked in love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, this world would be a perfect place. But I also know that's not going to happen in this world, because there's always agitation. There's always things out of sorts. There's always some power, some evilness out there that wants to stir up things and just change things and just keep us going down the path that it wants to take us. The path of either disgruntlement and all, you know, it's all lost and it's a hopeless cause. Or do I choose to walk on the path of God and say, well, yeah, it's getting bad. I know His word says, you know, it's going to grow gross darkness in these days. Not denying it. But I'm going to be the light. I'm still going to show love, need to show grace, need to show mercy, and I need to speak those things, especially when people know you of that of a pastor or of a chaplain. But it's a challenge. It's a challenge. How about immaturity? Christ-likeness and holy living doesn't come all at once. Christ-likeness and holy living doesn't come all at once. When you were saved and boom, you received Christ, did everything in your life change that as soon as you got up from the altar, or as soon as you got done saying the prayer and said amen? Was your home life okay? Was your personal life okay? Did everything just go smooth? Don't think so. Christ's likeness and holy living doesn't come all at once. But we need to grow toward maturity and that of Christ. Because these things don't happen overnight, don't give up on them. Even in our small body, and we're missing quite a few today that makes us even smaller, and we're small to begin with, amen. But we all have things and issues in our life, and we're all growing and maturing and developing at different levels and different stages. Holy living doesn't come instantly once you receive Christ. I could go through many situations and scenarios that I've seen people's lives change and things that have happened in their lives. But it didn't come overnight. And you know what, folks? When I look in the mirror at Tim, I didn't change overnight. And some of the things and understandings of what I received of that of God's Word, it didn't come instantly when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I'm talking about things and an understanding of the ordinances of that of God, whether it be water baptism, whether it be that of, and even now not it's an ordinance, but that of tithing and giving and things of that nature. It's all there in God's Word, but we all have to grasp it and let it get into us as God wants it to be in us. And as we each do that, we begin to see a change. We begin to see that metamorphosis. We begin to see us changing from a caterpillar into that of a butterfly. We begin to see the beauty of things of God. Now, some caterpillars are pretty with all their stripes and colors and things of that nature, but I tell you, when it turns into a butterfly, there's some beautiful colored butterflies out there. And as we are changing day in and day out to be more like that of Christ, and it's because of holy, holy, holy is He, and holy is He in me, that I have to, you want to, I want to be like Him. And change into as much as I can of Him while I'm here upon this earth with so much garbage flying around me. But realize, and I think when it doesn't come at once, people have, after, and I'm not, it could be 3 months, 3 years, 5 years, 6 years, you name it. Sometimes people, after about 2 or 3 weeks into it, they don't see much of a change, or they still feel this, you know. Oh, I got saved by Jesus, I'm a new Christian, but I still smoke. If I'm still drinking, you know. Let the Spirit work on you in those things. Little by little, it doesn't matter. I'm still getting angry. You know, it could be anything of sin. Could be that of gossiping. I still gossip, and I know God doesn't like that. Now, I'm not saying to stay in sin. Get out of it. But let God work with you on it. And when you don't have the strength to do it on your own, He says, I'm there to give you the strength to do it. And remember to ask Him for that help to clean, to organize, to do, to change, whatever the case is. Because I say, Father God, oh, I want to be like You, because Your Word tells me that I need to be like You. I need to be set apart. I need to be sanctified. I am holy. I am Your righteousness, because Your righteousness is in me. I've changed my clothes. I'm a new person. Work with me, Lord, and He will. And then love, one of those areas of character, that of Matthew 5:48. We need to love others as God loves us. That's part of that sanctification and working in us. Because prior to that, maybe you didn't have that ability to love others. Maybe you were it was hard for you to love others. But with Christ in me, and some many, many years back now, you know, I said had a slide and things like said similar to this, that we need to have the compassion of that of Jesus. We as a church need to have that compassion, because whoever comes in off the street and comes in here, we're just going to love them and welcome them. Whether they're in a tuxedo or they're just in, you know, sweatpants that are all ripped, or, you know, shorts, whatever the case is, we're just going to love them to let them know, hey, thanks for coming. And while they're here, my prayer is if I would see, you know, visitors and things come in, even maybe they had a little bit too much to drink last night, and they're sitting here, I'm going to be praying by that of the Spirit up here, Lord, touch that person, touch that person, touch that person by that of your Spirit to change them while they're here. And you know what? I believe my God can do that. Sometimes we have churches that would say, you can't come in until you're cleaned up. It's like, what better place to come into the church to get cleaned up? Amen. We might be the Maytag of his kingdom. I don't know. You know, whirlpool. Who knows what, man? But it's the Spirit in us that works these things, that helps me, cleans me, works on me, still cleans me. And that's the things that I've got to look at. Those that strive to become perfect will one day be perfect, even as Christ is perfect. 1 John 3, 2-3. Beloved, now we are children of God. This is 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Christ's ability to overcome temptation and remain pure makes him a role model for all believers. I tell you what, we talk about our kids need a role model as they're growing up, amen? We talk about sports figures and all, and maybe back in the days, back in the 50s and the 60s and things, sports models and players were great role models for kids, but now some of the athletes of today, it's kind of crazy. It's like you don't want your kids taken after them. But as we look at a role model, we need something to look at to say, I want to aspire to be like that. What better one, what better person to aspire to be like than that of what? Jesus. And all that he is, and all what was encompassed in him, how he treated things, how he treated people, how he handled situations. There's anger, indignation. Yes, he had when he dealt with a religious order, when things were going against the kingdom of God and things of that nature. That's what upset them, because he was upset with them. But he was love and just mercy and grace to those outside. And even when they beat him and whipped him, he never lifted a hand. But we are to strive to be like that. And as we are like that of Christ, we begin to see that set apart. Okay, in 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy 2, the main verse that I want to look at is 21. But as we look at this particular reading in 2 Timothy chapter 2, my title within this section talks about being approved and disapproved workers. And of course, that's where we find about 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth, or of truth. And we talk about this. But in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. We got to figure out what part of the shelf do we want to be on. Verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor. What's the latter? From that of wood and clay, dishonor. So we come out of that area of life of dishonor to that of honor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified or set apart, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, as we get into that, we continue to read here, but it tells us we've got to do some things. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid, verse 23, 2 Timothy 2:23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. We have all at one time or the other, we were in the snare of the devil. Do you believe that? My goodness. But we are to be out of that. We need to be watchful that we don't step into that snare again. Thank you, Father. That goes by that of the protection of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like sonar. He's like radar, man. He's out there in our spirit pinging these things in life. And when something is not right, that ping should come back to us and say, warning, danger, this is coming, this is about to happen, be prepared, go this way, go that way, whatever the case might be. But we've got to be tuned to that of the Spirit. We've got to be listening to that of the Spirit. We look at 1 Thessalonians 5, and these are exhortations and things, and then blessings and admonishing. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We need to have some kind of like a bell or a buzzer out there, so when I call for a verse, you guys can ring it so I know when to go on, because I know I get going too fast, and I bless your hearts. You're paging through your Bibles and things, and I don't want to rush, and I should slow it down. Because it's vitally important that you see this in your scriptures. It's something about when we read something in our word, our eyes see it, and it goes into our brain, right? It goes into your brain. It's like the brain is like a copier. Now, some of us have better copiers than others. My copier is, I think I'm low on toner. My toner is about out. Lord, give me new toner in my brain so I can copy this and see it. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify, here we see that word sanctify again, set apart, set you apart completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Brethren, pray for us. And it just goes on and on, but he is faithful. You can't express it enough that God is faithful. So as we look at this in 1 Thessalonians, while we're there, I think we're there, so let's look at 4. I'm going to go turn back to chapter 4 is where I wanted to stop. 4:3. And it talks in, and this is in the title of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, pleading for purity. And it begins in 4:1. Finally, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and how you are to please God. And that's what it's about, pleasing God, amen. For you know what commandments we have given you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles, who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all, such as we also forewarned you and testified. For, verse 7, for God did not call us to uncleanliness, but what? In holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. And then if you really want to look at it, as far as once we become holy and as we are set apart, and this is here, I guess I just wanted to read that where it says here for verse 7, for God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. And we've got to attain that. We want to work towards that. We want to stay on track to fulfill that or what God has called us to do. And it's by his strength in us, his abilities in us, that is going to allow this to come about. If we try to do it on our own, that's when we will fail and get distraught and upset and turn from God, and we don't want to do that, and then the enemy wins. As we look at this and end on this part here, as we are holy, sanctified, and being set apart, working daily, cleansing ourselves by that of the Holy Spirit in us to help convict and come to mind and turn and ask for repentance, turn it over to God, whatever it might be. But then we find in Galatians 5, and it's talking about walking in the Spirit. And as we find ourselves holy, holy, holy with that of God, we should be able to begin to see more of these attributes coming within us. In verse 16 of Galatians 5, talks about here about our liberty as a Christian, but it says in Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. Goes through the whole gamut of what these things are. Murders, drunkenness, revelers. But then in verse 22, I guess the key to that in verse 21 at the very end, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then in 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And so as we begin to walk out this walk, and how many here have been on a long walk with that of God? You know? It's probably getting easier, you know, from what it started out as. But it's still a journey. We're still going through different aspects of things in our life. And at one time or another, we never know what might come up upon us. But it's for us to be ready when that happens, and to be ready by that of the alertness of that of the Holy Spirit. But it's our part to play in trying to continue on this path of sanctifying ourselves to be that much closer to that of God. He has done all that He has done, and now we have a part to play. Amen. Amen. And when I find that I don't have the ability or the strength, He's still there to help me. I just need to reach out and ask Him to help me. Amen. Help me, Lord. I know what You want. You know what I need. I've tried to do it on my own, and it's not working. Help me, Father. Give me strength. Give me strength. So as we end and look at this, remember, holiness is one of the essential elements of God's nature that requires of His people. And we're going to keep working on it. How about you? I'm going to keep working, Lord. There's more that He has for all of us. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Father, I love You. I ask You now, Lord, to touch again each of our hearts and our spirits, Lord. Lord, just take what has been shared by Your word and let it just begin to take root, Lord, in our spirit where it needs to. Help us, Lord, recall things, Lord, to our spirit, Lord. Even in the days ahead or tonight, Lord, as maybe we think or Your Holy Spirit just prompts our spirit and we're in meditation with You or we're reading Your word, Lord, that we will see more of this sanctification and set apart and consecration, Lord, and all of these things that You are wanting us to be and that we should be, Father, set apart for Your use. Thank You, Lord. Oh, Father, for each and every one of us here has a part to play in Your kingdom, Lord. I just pray that we all fulfill that call upon us. And Lord, where we are weak, where we have confusion, Lord, give us strength, give us clarity, Lord. Prepare that way. Let us be prepared, Lord. Lord, we just pray, Lord, for Your strength, Lord, Your vitality within us. And that all that we do by that, like Jesus said, we're going to do things here, Lord, to bring honor and glory to You, our Heavenly Father. We thank You, Father, right now. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.